And I pray that I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm an avid reader of all kinds of books, business books, theology books, pulp fiction. I like reading, which is probably why I do the books on the car boot sale. And I do find that I've probably read a frightening percentage of the books that pass through. Not the Mills and Boone, obviously, but it's interesting that as you read, certain themes just seem to appear. It's quite interesting in business books. Certain themes just appear at certain times. So, you know, 10 years ago, it was almost about the hard economics and the strategy and what was going on with monetary and fiscal policy, and how that impacts business. It's much more soft at the minute. And there's a lot of Christian spirituality, and certainly spirituality, appearing in business books as we look at the power of the individual, what are we putting into the network, so on and so forth. And one of the themes that's coming out at the minute is looking at things from a different perspective. So I put that into action last night, and I know we won last year at the quiz. This year we graciously let somebody else win. But one of the phrases that struck me, and again it was in a businessy type of book, was a quote from Teilhard de Chardin, which you'll see in Partnership News in the meditation. And what it says is, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And I found that very, very profound. It's a while since I've read any of Teilhard de Chardin, but it just looks at things completely different. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings who are having a human experience. And if you think of the stories that we had in the Gospel reading and in the Old Testament reading, and even from Paul, if you think of the rising or the raising of people from the dead, from a human perspective, that defies logic. It defies the laws of nature as we understand them. But if we come at it from the perspective of we are inherently spiritual beings, and if you like, our human experience is kind of a metaphysical part of the journey, then it's much more understandable. It's much less incredible. It's much more understandable. And if you think of even what Elijah said to the widow, when he's asking her to make some bread and bring some water. And then he says, the drought will not end until, you know, my God says it's going to end. Now, what we sometimes forget is this chapter in the Old Testament reading is just before Elijah has the bonfire contest with the prophets of Baal. He is deep in Baal worship country. And so for somebody to say, actually, it's my God who's going to tell when the rains will come in the heart of that territory is kind of shocking enough and would defy the logic of the people who were listening to that. But we are spiritual beings having a human experience, not the other way around. And actually, Elijah is a really interesting prophet because lots of prophets in the Old Testament speak out against the religious leaders, speak out against a rebellious people. Elijah does that a little bit, but actually, generally just goes around doing good stuff. And in that sense, is a type model for Christ who comes afterwards. And there are some people who think that actually Nain, which we read about in the Gospel reading, is the same kind of location as Zarephath, where Elijah was. So, looking at things from a spiritual perspective helps us understand what's going on in terms of some of the miracles that we see perhaps in both the Old and in the New Testament. If we move forward to the New Testament, and we see Jesus, who happens to be walking around, sees the widow come out with her son, and raises a son. Again, it defies logic. In Luke's Gospel, we see for this woman, there is no apparent statement of faith, no questioning her faith. It's a completely random act. But we also see just before the story of the healing of the centurion's servant. Do you remember the centurion comes to Jesus, you know, got an ill servant, and Jesus says, "I haven't seen faith like this anywhere else." So he explicitly speaks about faith a few verses before, and in this case doesn't. And actually in Luke, there are 25 examples where there's a male and a female, a man and a woman, in very similar circumstances, just after one another. And Luke, with his emphasis on women, and again, care and compassion for those who are in need and those who are in distress, comes through. But it's a completely random act. There is no need, in this case, for faith. For the Roman, it's as if Jesus is saying, God's grace is available to anybody, not just the Jews who follow the law, for a Roman, for a man, for a woman. Without the son, she was already a widow, she would have had no means of support, and she would have been destined for destitution and certainly poverty at the very best. And we see Jesus reaching out, moved solely by compassion, in an act that raises up this woman's son. An act that defies logic. And it's not surprising that word spread quickly. Well, it would, wouldn't it, if somebody's just been raised from the dead. But the words that are used when Jesus says, "rise up," it's exactly the same word that the people use about Jesus to say a prophet has now been raised up among us. It's almost like what Jesus is doing is a foreshadowing of what he will do at his resurrection. As this woman's son is raised up, there is more to life than death. As Jesus rises from the dead, he shows that there is indeed more to life than death. Jesus demonstrates to the woman that there will be life after apparent death, that there things can change. And that's exactly what Jesus would show when he rose from the dead himself. The people call him a prophet because prophets were seen as people who had the ability of what they said came into being. They could call into being the things that they said. When Jesus says, "rise up," and the man rises up, that's testimony of a prophet. That's one of the ways they tested a prophet. And it foreshadows what's about to happen when Jesus is crucified and rises from the dead. He is indeed a true prophet in a way that the people don't yet see, because they are seeing things from a human experience, not the spiritual experience, because that's where we are normally, that's our normal mode of operation. But what Jesus in that story shows, and in what God shows in the story from Elijah, is that he wants to reach out with compassion. He wants to reach out to those who are in need. He wants to reach out to the hopeless. He wants to reach out into those situations and circumstances which we see as being dead, as we see without having any hope. Those are the situations that God wants to reach out. In the widow's experience in Nain, for the widow of Zarephath, to reach out with compassion. And God still wants to do that, and still does that, in our lives, and in our world today. He wants to break through into our lives in that same way, with compassion. We are spiritual beings having a human experience, not human beings having a spiritual experience. And as God breaks through, sometimes it's difficult for us to see that, because our mindset and the way of the world and the way that we are and the way that society would have us formed is to see us as being human beings who have a spiritual experience. As God breaks through with compassion, as he uses us to break through with his compassion, as Mother Teresa says, you know, we are the hands and the feet and the eyes of God. As we break through, perhaps to see that and perhaps to realize that, we need to do so from the perspective of being spiritual beings who have a human experience, not human beings who have a spiritual experience. Amen.
Amen.